once again. You are tuning into the latest edition of the Real Estate Investing in Canada interview series. I'm your host, Russell Westcott, and today I'm grateful that you decided to listen to today's interview. If you are an investor in Ontario, and more specifically in the Toronto market, you may have been reading all the press about the condominium market. Is there a bubble forming, or are things just starting to take off? To get to the answer to this question, I wanted to get an expert on the line today and dive headfirst into some of the research and the facts. Today on the line, I have an expert from Urbanation, Inc. Since 1981, Urbanation has been actively tracking Toronto's high-rise condominium market. Urbanation monitors market performance, continuously collects data, and provides economic and statistical analysis to its clients. They are experts. My guest today is Ben Myers. Ben is the editor and executive vice president of Urbanation. Ben has an economics degree and has worked for several real estate firms, including Trimark Research, Altus, Clayton, all in the GTA area. Ben, I know how busy you are, and for us to shoehorn this conversation in was almost like moving mountains. So thank you very much, and welcome to the call. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Well, so the introduction. An analysis of the high-rise condominium market in the GTA area. So how does somebody get to that point? What path did you take to get there, and why should we listen to you today?
Well, I mean, I was probably like many people who graduated university and had no idea what they wanted to do. I knew they had an economics degree, but what did that really mean? And I graduated the United States, and I ended up working for a firm that tracked the Dallas-Fort Worth real estate market. So when I moved back to Canada, which I am Canadian, I continued the trend in working for a couple of those companies that you mentioned earlier, and then came on to work for Urbanation, which has been doing this, been tracking the high-rise condominium market, the new resale and future market, since 1981. And actually, we just recently launched a new report on the that's tracking the condominium apartment rentals. So it's kind of an interesting new report that we're doing, and kind of a natural extension of our brand, because we're known as the condo experts out there.
So, are you a Longhorn fan?
Well, I did graduate from the University of Texas at Arlington, which is part of the UT system. So I guess you consider me a Longhorn fan. It's really one of the only teams in Texas that is consistently good. So I guess you can count me as a fan.
Right on. So are you one of those economists that you're locked in a room all day long, and you've got books that are stacked up beside you, and all you do is analyze numbers? Or do you get down and meet with the people and take the numbers and find out what can be applied to those numbers?
Well, certainly I try to delve into the numbers. I try to get out and visit some of the condo sales offices and talk to the agents there, and certainly try to talk to a number of our clients to really get an insight into to what's happening out there. Because certainly the market has changed drastically, certainly even over the past 5 years, in terms of the buyers that are in the market.
So let's talk a little bit about the Toronto condo market. If you're a resident in Toronto in the GTA and you're driving downtown, you see a skyline full of cranes everywhere. So from a macro level, what's going on in the condo market, and what's going on from a term of supply and demand out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a near record sales in the first quarter. It's about 300 sales less than the highest first quarter ever, which actually happened in Q1 of 2010. Last year, there was over 20,000 new condominium sales, which is the second highest year ever to the 22,500 that occurred in 2007. So certainly the market is very, very strong. Q2 looks to be amazing in terms of new condo sales. We're projecting they will have as many as 40 new project launches, which would be a record, topping the 38 new launches that we had in Q2 of 2008. So, and even with all that product on the market, at the end of Q1, we had the market was about 75,000 units, of which only 17% were unsold. So, which tied a record low from Q1 of 2010 and Q1 of 1986, if you can believe that.
Well, so from your research, who's buying the condos in Toronto downtown right now?
Well, it looks like the, from our research, we've done, a survey of some of our clients and lenders, developers, brokers out there. We're estimating that somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60% overall in the Toronto CMA, the Toronto Census Metropolitan Area, is investors. So people who don't intend to occupy their suite. So they may either be people who are looking to hold and rent them long-term, hold and rent them short-term, or assign them, or either be, flippers, I guess. So we've estimated that is potentially as high as 25% of the investors that are purchasing out there are investing to sign their unit. So it's pretty interesting.
So would you call that a speculation?
Yeah, I guess it's speculation. I think a lot of people buy in the real estate market, even when they intend to live there, buying into a project that they think is going to go up higher than another, even though it may not be one that's maybe they would have liked another project better in terms of what to live in, but they're looking for the capital appreciation, right? So there's definitely a lot of speculators out there, and especially with the market going up in the average of 7 to 9% over the past 5 years. So they're certainly getting some good returns.
So are you think that with 50% of the people buying the places that aren't expecting to live in it, are you seeing maybe people getting in buying many multiples of units? Maybe ask the question: can these properties cash flow if you do decide to put a tenant in them?
Yeah, that was the thing that we were considering when we launched this new urban rental report, because no one was really tracking rents on a per square foot basis, and that was the key because the size of units have continued to shrink. So it's pretty interesting results. The rent per square foot overall in the Toronto CMA is only $2.11 per square foot. And then if you look at the rents per square foot for projects rented that have registered since 2007, it's only about $2.26 per square foot on average. So if you look at, a $550 per square foot condo and then a 750 square foot unit, which is about the average that is traded in the since 2007, since those buildings registered in 2007, it's a cash flow negative. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see if these investors are putting down more than a minimum down payment. Because if you're putting more than a minimum down payment, you won't be cash flow negative. But I think a lot of investors are putting down that minimum, but they are really only investing on the capital appreciation. So,
right.
So it's interesting. I'm really trying to get into the head of these investors. I really haven't before, but certainly with this new report that we've launched, I'm really trying to get with some of the brokers and what I guess in Vancouver they call the whales, the guys that represent a lot of the investors, and see what their investors' mindset is.
Yeah, it's interesting, and especially when you have a number of as high as 50% of people that aren't planning to occupy the properties, it doesn't take too many shocks to come across a market to really upset the apple cart, if for lack of a better term here. But so that's what's happening out there right now. What about that you're seeing for supply in the next year or so? Is there more still coming? So if there's this many people there, is there more coming down the pipe?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in terms of future new condominiums that will be launched into the market, at the start of the year, I'd only forecasted about 15 to 17,000 new units coming onto the market. And then, it was pretty interesting because I call my developer clients and I call the brokers and say, hey, what's coming up this year? So it was significantly lower than what we had last year, which was over 20,000 units. And then, in the first quarter, we launched 4,000 units. And then in this quarter, we may have as many as 9,000. So we're already up to 13,000 units through only halfway through the year. So it looks like, again, we'll have over 20,000 new units launched into the market. And then in terms of the projects registering, it looks like we're going to have a record in the neighborhood of 16,000 to 17,000 units register this year. So we'll certainly add some resale supply that will, obviously compete against the new supply coming on.
Now we're very big at the Real Estate Investment Network to look at research and look at the numbers. So from some of the demographics that you're looking at, or some of the population, is there population coming to the GTA that can help absorb this? Because, 50% investors buying things that aren't going to live in it is not a model for long-term sustainability.
Yeah, I mean, the Toronto CMA has averaged 100,000 new people over the past 10-plus years. So we're certainly getting a huge influx of new people into the city and the greater Toronto area. So, and again, the level of low-rise housing is continuing to get lower and lower, especially with greenbelt legislation, the price of land, and some of the big players in the low-rise market just holding on to land, right? So they're banking it and holding on and releasing it at a slower pace than they would have before. So it's certainly driving some first-time buyers into the high-rise market. So.
Yep. Well, that's the joke I make. I live out in Vancouver, and the joke I make out here is, first-time home is no longer a land-orientated property. It's a box in the sky.
Exactly.
The first-time home. So
yeah. So and there's really just been a greater appreciation for condominium living, amongst young people. And again, with the level of immigration that we're getting here, they're coming from a lot of countries where they don't dream of the white picket fence and the large lot. They live in apartment style home, so it's not anything different for them.
So I imagine a lot of the developers who are putting up these large towers and buildings, and even especially the future developments, they're putting a lot of their money into research and forecasting and those kind of things. So what are they seeing? Like, what would is a person who's putting hundreds of millions of dollars into a large let's call Mr. Donald Trump or whatever, building Trump Towers and that, are they putting a tremendous amount of information into research into their future trends?
Yeah, I mean, we have of the 10 highest developers, the best selling developers from 2010. 7 of them subscribe to our report, and of the other 3, the broker that represents their project subscribes to our report. So the guys that are doing the most action in this market are using research. You have to put in, especially when you're spending that kind of money and making these types of multi-million dollar decisions. And again, the big time lenders are all looking at our reports as well. So I think it's a key for even if, from the high end all the way down to the individual speculator. I mean, I think my urban rental report, not to plug myself here, but is perfect for an individual investor that's active in this market that has 5 or 6 units. You need to see, what's hot and what's not, if you should be selling off your unit or if you should be buying more, and in what areas to buy them in, right?
Right.
So, certainly in terms of value, an area like Scarborough is giving you the best value, amazingly enough, a Scarborough City Center project in terms of what you can buy that unit for and when you can rent it out. I mean, you're getting almost negligent capital appreciation for your unit, but in terms of what you pay for it and what you rent it out, it's a much better value than the downtown core, right?
Yep.
But it's to each individual investor's strategy and how they want to go about it. I mean, obviously, yep. I think most of them would want to get a little bit of both, right?
A
positive cash flow and a capital appreciation all at the same time. But
well, you have to be able to survive to potentially sell your unit for higher price in the future. And the thing is, we often say within real estate, it's like a good 3-course meal. The first course as a real estate investor is your mortgage pay down.
Mm-hmm.
And the second course meal is cash flow you get from it. And then the third one, which is the dessert, is the capital appreciation of the assets. So,
yeah.
Well, so speaking,
I might steal that. So.
Yep, you can. Please do. I stole it from someone else. as we joke sometimes, there's not a lot of new ideas within real estate. There's just a lot of recycled and repackaged.
Yeah, well, that's perfect. I like stealing stuff from other people. So,
so speaking about rents, and you know what, I'll also echo a comment you made about Scarborough. We've had Scarborough on our radar for many, many years. Even to the point where people were really looking at us like we had 3 heads when we were telling about Scarborough being a good potential market to look into. So,
mm-hmm.
So for rents, what are you seeing out there in rentals for new condos, existing condos? Are you seeing them going up, down, going sideways? What's your research show?
Yeah, so our Q1 2011 from our Urban Rental Report showed that there was only a 2.2% increase in the index rent, so the rents per square foot. So it was pretty interesting, especially when the resale market's going up 3.5%, and that was one of the lower rates that we've had over the past few years. And then the new market I think is up I think what I said 8.5% or something along those lines. So certainly a little bit different between the three different venues. So I really think that it's because of the people that are renting in the market, when they tend to be fairly young, they just can't afford to spend $3 or $3.50 per square foot on a unit. So I think the rents are going to stay fairly flat, especially with the increased investor activity in recent years and the amount of product coming online, and a lot of that product being fairly small too.
Right. So it's going smaller and tighter to the central business districts.
Yeah, I mean,
or closer to transportation and rapid transit.
Yeah, I mean, almost all over the Toronto CMA, even in the suburban locations, they're going for much smaller suites than they have before, and even more so in the downtown core. Before, they would have a selection of 5 to 10 stories of more penthouse style units at the top or larger units at the top. But what happened in late 2008, early 2009 with the financial crisis, they just couldn't afford to wait on some of those units to sell, even though they may be making greater profit on those individual units. They said, okay, we're going to make them all small. We know that they're the units that are going to sell, and they're going to sell quickly, and we'll be able to obtain financing, right? So, and again, another factor was the value of some people's low-rise houses went down, so they weren't looking to downsize into a condominium. And the third factor being, because of the price of condos have gone up so much, you can't trade out as much as a move-down buyer as you could before. So so that boom that people are expecting out of the baby boomers moving down has just not materialized.
Right. So I know you mentioned the prices of condos versus previous year. Where are they compared to, I know you talked about the financial crash of 2008. Are they on par with what they were there, or are they greater or less?
It's actually been fairly consistent. Now, we track what's called the sold index price in the market. So it's kind of a blended number. So it takes into account, if a project's active now and it started in 2008, right, it takes into account those units that sold in 2008. So we tend to see a fairly consistent kind of rise in that number. So like I said earlier, 7-9% is kind of been what we've seen over the past 5 years. Nothing too much higher. We've seen as high as 11-12%, but only a low of about 5. So it's always been fairly consistent number, and I think that's definitely attracting a lot of investors to this market. The domestic investors, certainly international investors are investing for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Stable banking, stable politically, strong Canadian dollar. And then obviously the health of the market is another thing that's driving them, right?
Yep. So yeah, I know. I was I was at a conference just recently, and I was talking to somebody who and we got we didn't get into a debate. I really was curious about why he was buying condos in downtown Vancouver that he clearly knew wasn't going to cash flow, and and this is a fellow that has a lot of money, and he says, well, I have no plans to rent them out. To me, I could buy things like gold, or I could buy things like real estate, and he's using this just to hold his wealth. He'd much rather have it sit in real estate than cash or in gold or something, and I can't say it's right or wrong. That's just his strategy.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see when we see some of these 500, 600 unit condo projects start to occupy, if we're going to have that huge selection of suites that are just sitting vacant with some international owner owning them and has no interest in renting them out because they don't want that person to ruin the suite or something, So it'll be interesting to see if we have a lot of vacant suites at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I know there's probably very few people that are listening to this call on the line that's probably in that boat. So, you know, in my case scenario, or most people that's listening, that's not a good business model.
Yeah, it's quite interesting though, but there seem to be a lot of straight cash buyers in this market, right? So it's pretty interesting, and even I can't get my head around it. I get different viewpoints from some of the brokers out there that are representing some of these clients in terms of what they're looking for. So certainly there's no blanket investment strategy in this market for sure.
Yeah, and well, you know what's appealing is Canada as a whole right now. Canada is looked upon on a world stage that we have, you know, we've coined the phrase that Canada has what the world's looking for, you know, food, fuel, fertilizer, and forestry. And that's driving a lot of people moving here and people actually putting their money here. You know, there's not a lot of good alternatives right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Elsewhere. So back to rent. From your research, and you mentioned this report, your research that you conduct, what parts of the city command higher rents and premiums than others?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Bloor Yorkville is the highest, and that's by far. You know, the rent per square foot was $3.03 in Q1, so that was significantly higher than any other submarket that we track. So we take each municipality and break it down into smaller areas. And the downtown core is the second highest, and it's only at $2.50. So significantly lower, and it's pretty interesting because a lot of major cities in the United States, obviously waterfront views are the king. So, but the Toronto's harborfront is only getting $2.30, so there's not a big premium in Toronto to overlook the water. It's more being in that prestigious type neighborhood, access to high-end shopping, and access to transit. So,
interesting.
So
that'd be a little
result.
Bit.
Yeah.
Counterintuitive to
exactly, but obviously the city is trying to revamp our waterfront, but I still think that it won't have that same high end cachet as Bloor Yorkville for a long time to come.
Right. Okay. What about suite mix? What's your research showing you out there? What sort of is the favorable property that people are looking for right now?
Well, in terms of all I looked at was in my last urban rental report was the overall Toronto CMA. So it was actually pretty evenly split between one bedroom plus den and two bedrooms at about 27-28%. So it was a pretty even split between those bedroom type studios are still not particularly popular, and then two bedroom plus dens, they don't get rented as much obviously because they have such a high price, and then three bedroom or larger, there's very few of those overall in the city getting rented out, which you think there might be more, but with people looking to get maybe three students in there, but the developers just aren't building them, so I guess that's why they're not being rented out, right? So
what you're finding, typical clientele is the young urban professionals that just probably don't drive a car and work downtown or work somewhere that they need transit, and it's about lifestyle more than anything.
Yeah, but it's interesting that even there was about 700 one-bedroom units that were rented in Q1, and three-quarters of those units were rented with a parking space. So a little counterintuitive to what people might think, but I know the developers now are certainly trying to build their projects with less parking, obviously to cut the costs of going underground, and because in some instances they're getting left with parking spaces at the end of their development that people aren't buying.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. So, they're trying to recoup their costs, and now parking's, for a lot of the new developments is getting between $40,000 and $45,000, right? So, for a lot of people, I guess that's why they're not purchasing, right?
You know what? I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he purchased a property in a tower that was literally the SkyTrain went right through it, and had a station right in the base of it, and he sold his car, and he was showing me that if he needs a car, he'll rent one. And it's cheaper than owning a vehicle for the little time that he does use it. So,
yeah, I mean, I know that the city is really trying to push these car share, different car share companies that are active in the market, and say, hey, it's a lot cheaper than a payment, and you need just those long trips that you need, you can use that. So a lot of developers are putting those into their condo developments.
And I know, you just were out in Vancouver, and what City of Vancouver does is they put a 40% parking tax on everything, which kind of curbs things a little bit for wanting to. It was yesterday, I think we went downtown, and parking was, I think it was $25 flat fee, and we only needed like for an hour. It was just like ridiculous. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I don't like to drive downtown anywhere because it's just a nightmare to try to find parking, and traffic is horrible, and it takes you forever to get anywhere. But the City of Toronto was kind of interesting, where they had got repealed, but they had each new condo owner was supposed to be given by the developer a pass for the TTC, or the Toronto Transit Corporation. And then they go to the developer and say, well, you need a minimum amount of parking for each of your developments, right? So it's kind of counterintuitive, saying, you know, promoting transit on one hand and then promoting car usage on the other, right? So, but I think they're being a little more lax on the parking requirements in developments now, which I think is a good thing to keep the price, the overall cost of building some of these developments a little bit lower for the developer, and, you know, really promoting public transit. So, and like I said, a lot of developers sometimes end up with those spaces left over. So I think I definitely think it's a good thing for them to be allowed to build with less parking.
Yep. And I'll tell you, as the old saying goes, the times, they are a-changing. So
yeah, exactly.
Even you mentioned earlier things that you were, you know, talking about research you were doing 5 years ago. It's like a new paradigm right now.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the level of investor activity is shot up. I mean, 5 years ago, we probably would have said it was 35%. Now, like I said earlier, we think it's as high as 60%. And just the level of international and different type buyers, you know, not only Asian, which it was always before, now it's, you know, the Hong Kong type buyer, now it's mainland China, now it's East Indian, it's Persian, it's all these groups that you may not have thought, and they're buying in specific pockets in a city. But even the Asian buyers are going into pockets of the city that they hadn't before, right? So
right.
So it's pretty interesting that they're buying in some of these locations.
Perfect. So if I was to ask you to, with everything you know, and that's one of the beautiful things about when you study markets and do research, you're looking a lot at the past numbers. So mm-hmm. everything you know about what has happened, if I was to ask you to dust off your crystal ball, what do you see in the high-rise Toronto market in the next 1 year, you know, short-term, medium-term, 5, and then maybe even 10 years past?
Well, I mean, certainly, I try not to even make a comment on 5 to 10 years down the road, just because this market has changed so drastically. But you know, I think we're on solid footing. I think a lot of times I mention that I think the developers need to be moderate in their pricing, which is difficult because the market is super hot now. But if you continue to raise pricing, there's no room for pricing to go up in the future, right? So that's why I always preach that moderate pricing a little bit over your competition, then it helps everyone. If the market steps up slowly, you make money, your investors make money. You don't want to make all the money on this development, and then the next development, you don't have any upside. So what I've presented a lot of times is what I think is a sustainable level or a healthy level of activity in the market is probably in the neighborhood of 15,000 to 17,000 sales. So just because of what we can currently deliver in terms of our construction capacity and what's good for not satiating all that pent-up demand and still having product going forward. So that's what I think is probably a healthy level, and we ran over that level in 2010, and it looks like we're going to run over that level again in 2011. We were at that level in 08 and 09 and above it in 2007. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes going forward.
Right.
I'm hoping it continues. I'm hoping it continues strong, but some of these rental numbers did get me a little bit nervous, but then talking to a number of people saying that, you know, a lot of investors are only in it for the capital makes me feel a little bit better, but I think there still is a fair amount of mom-and-pop type investors out there that are anticipating being able to cover, and then, you know, they're going to get a little bit of a shock when they see what the rents are 4 years down the line, and potentially, you know, even greater shock if we see a major increase in interest rates, right?
Yeah, and a shock too. Of you know, typically all it takes is a few people that get itchy, that have to get out now. That impacts everybody else.
Exactly. I was a little worried early in the year when I saw one project that registered and it was a 350 unit building. And the day that it registered, there was 120 listings. So it was a huge amount for any one building. You know, we usually only see 5 to 10% max of when a project registers of those units being listed for sale. There's already some projects down in the waterfront City Place type area where we're seeing huge amounts of units listed for assignment already. So, and if they're out there for assignment and they're viewable, and there must be also a huge number that are being offered that are not on MLS system, right? Yeah. So that worries me, but I haven't seen it in droves. It's only been in a couple buildings, so it's not like it's happening all over the place, and that's certainly something I'm going to watch going forward.
Yeah, and I think the real big concern would be if there's too many people with too short of a time frame, with a too short term mentality.
Exactly.
That's when the problems occur. So.
Yeah. We have flood of units, and it brings the pricing down, and it just like a house of cards. The whole market collapses, right? So.
Well, there are some definite issues and definite concerns to be aware of. But tell you what, if you're well researched and go in with your eyes open of what you're buying, you can take a look at the numbers from there. But I personally don't, my model isn't hinged upon appreciation of capital only. Like, there's got to be, I want it, and it's going to happen over a course of time, but you got to be able to survive the day. So
yeah, so it's very interesting the way some people are investing out there, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you've graciously have agreed to come out and present at our July workshop. Our July workshop in Toronto is on July 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a little sneak peek of what all the members that are coming out that night will get a sneak peek of what you're going to present that night?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do a similar program that I did a couple weeks ago, where I talked a lot about my new urban rental report. It's just kind of top of mind, and it'd be interesting, especially for the crowd, obviously being in the investors, right? And then I'll give a quick overview of what's happening in the new and resale condo market, take a look at some of the trends and where pricing and inventory and whatnot are standing. So hopefully it will give a interesting picture to the people that are out there and make them think a little bit differently than they have in the past.
Yeah, nothing but the facts.
Exactly. I try not to spin it. I always do a little bit of positive, but I always like to throw in a little negative, because if people are a little bit worried, then they'll definitely invest in a little bit of research, right? So I can't be all rosy all the time, right?
Diligence is what separates the guessers from the investors. So
yeah, exactly.
Perfect. So I think we can leave it off here. There's a couple more things. But if someone wants to get a hold of you, Ben, once again, I'm talking with Ben Myers with Urban Nation. If someone wants to get a hold of you, what would be the best place for someone to check you out?
Yeah, I think it's urbannation.ca is our website. I have my
email. And that's
email.
With one N, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's I have my telephone number, my emails on there, so you can give me a call or send me an email. Email is always best, because I got my BlackBerry with me wherever I go, and make sure to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/urbannation. We have lots of fun facts and interesting details of what's happening in the condo market.
Perfect. And I'd highly recommend, probably the best way to get a hold of you is come out to the RAIN meeting on July the 5th. You'll be there live in person and take questions and all the kind of stuff. You'll find that the level of sophistication from the RAIN members is very high. And some of the questions you'll get will just be fantastic questions that'll make you think.
Perfect.
So, once again, wanted to thank you. Thank you very much. I've been talking with Ben Myers. And more importantly, I wanted to thank each and every one of you for listening. This is another one of the interviews with the Real Estate Investing in Canada interview series. If you're currently a RAIN member, congratulations for being part of Canada's leading action takers. We've been talking with Ben Myers. Ben, wanted one more time to say thank you very much for your contributions to the call, and we'll look forward to see you on July the 5th.
Perfect. Thank you for thanks for chatting with me.
So if you're not yet a RAIN member and you maybe would like to come out to this event, as I mentioned, it's July the 5th. It's in Toronto. You can call our office at 1-888-824-7346. That's 1-888-824-7346. If you're interested in coming out to the event and hear from the likes of Ben Myers from Urban Nation and all the other experts coming out that night, if you like, just call that number. One of our client care specialists will get you set up. Once again, this is Russell Westcott, Vice President of RAIN, signing off and looking forward to seeing each and every one of you very soon. Bye for now.